Right, Love you ready? Talk Radio.
All set.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. If you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And let's get it started, Beeb. DAZN, Edgar Berlanga, the fighter of the weekend, baby, versus Padraig McCrory, 12-round super middleweight. Edgar Berlanga finished him. Finished McCrory in 6 rounds, completely one-sided, to get his first KO since December of 2020, Beeb. Berlanga, you know, I thought he did well. You could argue, I mean, it's tough. This one's a tough one. Berlanga was a long shot to fight Canelo even before this fight. He needed a spectacular performance, and you could argue for it somewhat. I mean, you can. I mean, what else are you supposed to do? He won just about every round, dominated the fight, knocked the guy out in 6 rounds. What's missing? You know, Beeb, I mean, we look at this. Why isn't he getting the next shot at Canelo? He needed a knockout. He got it. Won every round. Knocked this guy out in the 6th round. Why isn't this guy earning that shot against Canelo? I don't understand. Why don't you help me out here?
There's about eight or ten guys in front of him. That's why.
8 or 10?
Yeah.
I mean, let's go runs through these guys?
Let's go down the list. We'll start from the bottom. Not the bottom, but we'll start like lower. Does he beat Christian and Billy?
I don't know.
I say no. Does he beat Vladimir Shishkin? You may not know him, but he's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
He doesn't beat him. The other guy that Eddie Hearn has, Diego Pacheco. I don't think he beats him.
I think he beats Diego Pacheco.
Really?
He beats Diego Pacheco. You're talking about Edgar Berlanga. You must have forgot about, what is it, that 16-20 fight streak of knockouts? Come on, man. Man, you need to put some respect on his name. You're over there giving me top 10 guys. Listen, put Charlo in there. Put, you know, whoever you want in there. I'm telling you.
I'm not even sure.
Does he deserve the next shot?
No.
You're a straight hater. Padraig McCrory. Undefeated Padraig McCrory.
Does he beat Munguia?
I think it's possible.
Does he beat David Benavidez?
I think, you know what, let me tell you this. I tell you, Benavidez is moving up, so no. So he's out of the equation. He's out of the equation, son.
He may come back down, though, they
he
say.
He ain't coming back now. He's done.
Oh, he said he may come back
he
down.
He ain't coming back now.
You know what Mauricio Sulaiman said?
Who cares? Whatever Mauricio Sulaiman said, it's the complete opposite. It doesn't matter. He could just keep talking for all I care. He's not saying anything. You know what I mean? He's just talking to talk.
Imagine me quoting Mauricio Sulaiman like that's almost as bad as quoting Rick Glaser.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's almost better than quoting Glaser, you know.
Or Mike Coppinger.
Coppinger gets all the tap on this show. Personal friend of Mike Coppinger right here. Nobody. Him and Teddy Atlas off limits on this podcast.
I don't even know if Edgar Berlanga beats Jesse Hart. That's a 50-50.
Stop it.
I don't want to disrespect Edgar Berlanga, because I'll tell you one thing. He definitely has a following. He's definitely marketable. We'll give him that. And he may just get a big fight. I just have the feeling that he will be a potential Canelo opponent, definitely, at some point. Maybe this year. I mean, the way things are going with Canelo right now, I don't know what direction this guy's going.
I think
why he doesn't want to fight David Benavidez, or why that fight can't get made, I'm not even sure if he doesn't want to. I don't know.
You know exactly why that fight's not getting made.
I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there with it. But I don't know, man.
You know, we all know why that fight's not getting made. But listen, man, Edgar Berlanga is a good fighter. But the fight to make is going to be him and Jaime Munguia. That's the fight to make. That's the fight. He's not getting Canelo. He's just not. Because Edgar Berlanga may have a following and you may have that Puerto Rican thing going on. That's not, I mean, Canelo can fight anybody and it's going to sell out. I don't know that that's as marketable as him and Munguia, him and Crawford, him and somebody else, you know. So, yeah, I don't think.
If he doesn't fight, he's not going to fight Canelo next, but what I'm saying.
No.
So I don't know, man. I think him and Munguia in June would be a monster fight.
That's a big fight. That's what I keep saying, man. Both of those guys need to fight each other.
I've always said that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man.
Such a good fight.
I think Munguia has actually gotten better offensively, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gotten better offensively. Defensively, you know, he's going to be who he is. I think he's gotten better at timing his opponent, carrying shots a little bit, catching and shooting a little bit. I think he's gotten a little bit better. But what he's really gotten better at, Munguia, is really putting his shots together, being more fluid with his combinations, and just shooting his punches now, not really like loading up and winding up with them and being wide with them, you know? So,
and he's not, I tell you, as far as Berlanga goes, he's not,
he hasn't gotten better.
Guy. Yeah. And he hasn't gotten better.
He hasn't gotten better.
And that's what we talked about. That's what we talked about last week going into this week. He has not gotten any better. And Top Rank cut him loose. And whether you want to talk about it or not, they cut him loose. And there was a reason they did that. You don't cut a guy who has got 16 straight knockouts and he's headlining cards for you. And then you just cut him loose. There's something there.
I think I heard, and I'm not sure if Bob said this, someone over at Top Rank said this. I think it was Colin Moretti or somebody. I can't remember who it was. I don't want to misquote anyone. But he had a direction where he wanted to go with the opponents, and they wanted him to go to another direction. So even at the post fight press conference, they asked him if David Moreau was there.
Yeah.
I guess Berlanga is ranked like number. I think he's ranked very high by the WBA. I'm not sure if he's ranked number one or two. I can't remember. But David Morrell is the WBA regular champion.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he called him out. And then he basically poo pooed on the fight. Edgar Berlanga said, "I got bigger and better things to do."
Like what?
Like what?
You know, like go to match room and do what?
Yeah, I mean.
Fight Padre?
I mean, how many opponents of this level are you going to fight, with all due respect? So I would like to see him fight Munguia next. He's never going to go near David Morrell. But here's the thing. If you're ranked, if you're close to being in a mandatory slot and you don't want to fight for the title, even though it's a regular title, if you do beat Morrell and you win that regular title, that puts you closer to the Canelo.
He's not beating David Morrell.
No, he's not. But again, like these guys, I don't want to say these guys, but you know, Berlanga wants to kind of hang around and just wait for the golden goose. This reminds me of the welterweight division when Floyd was in it, and you had a lot of those PBC guys that were just waiting to cash in on Floyd. They didn't want to fight each other.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they were just waiting for the golden goose. Berlanga's kind of doing that right now. I got to give Munguia credit. I mean, the Ryder fight was a big step up. I thought, and he performed excellently in that fight. So I think Munguia is going in the right direction in his path to Canelo. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, Berlanga's 26 years old, right? So when Canelo retires and David Benavidez goes up to light heavyweight for good. And some of these other guys move up to light heavyweight at 168. I mean, Billy's getting up there in age. You know, he's a young guy, and Munguia is a young guy. So I'm trying to map out the trajectory of this division when all the moving parts kind of settle in.
Yeah.
And I'm still not even sure that this guy can become a champion unless Canelo vacates all four titles.
I don't know that he can. I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
Yeah. Unless he vacates all four titles and then he picks up a vacant title. So.
Florian, thank you so much, my friend. He said, thanks for your continuous weekly comment. In a time of mental struggle, you guys are a big part of my weekly highlight. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, brother.
Absolutely. The Zabata Brand Boxing Podcast, thanks for having me on the roundtable last Thursday, Bede. It was an honor. Very good, man.
Oh, no doubt, man. We'll have you back. It was a pleasure having you on. It was great having you on. I thought you brought great insight to the show.
And I'm sure you did much better than Beam on that show. I mean,
I subscribe to you.
You've subscribed to your own channel? What's the matter with you? Why would you subscribe to your own channel? What's the matter with you?
First of all, you don't have that option. So don't even put that out there. Don't try to gaslight.
What's the matter with you? You know?
But I subscribe to the Zapata Brand Boxing Podcast. I subscribe to your channel. You want to drop a link in the chat? And we can encourage everyone else to subscribe to the channel too. He interviewed Jerry Cooney. You know, he has some good guys on there. He does some great interviews over there,
for
too.
For sure,
so
man. Very
check
good,
out the
man.
Channel, everybody.
Very good. Good stuff. So back to Berlanga, Beeb. I think he's not getting Canelo. I think that's just out of the question. Is he Puerto Rican? Somebody said he was Dominican, but I thought he was Puerto Rican.
I think he's Puerto Rican 100%. He does have any Dominican. I'm not 100% sure. I know he's Puerto Rican. I don't know if he
has
any Dominican.
That's what I thought. You know, and that would be really the only selling point you could get.
Puerto Rican-Mexican thing. That's always a good rivalry, right?
Yeah. What is this podcast on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, just go to YouTube and search Zabata Brand Boxing Podcast.
Maybe I'll do it for you. I'll go to YouTube and I'll get a link to your channel and I'll drop it in there for everybody. Don't worry about it.
As far as he's not getting Canelo, I think that like I said, man, the fight to make is going to be him and Munguia. Unless you think Munguia gets Canelo next.
I don't know, man.
How can he say, I don't want to fight any Mexicans and then go fight Munguia and not Benavidez?
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
You can even say Benavidez is not Mexican. He lives in the U.S. He, you know what I mean?
I thought it was going to be Crawford, and then I kind of backtracked off of that, right? And... No, I just don't know, man. I thought it could have been David Benavidez because of, you know, Mauricio Sulman, what he said.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I don't either.
I don't know, man.
I don't think, like I said, Crawford makes the most sense.
I know what you said, I'm not saying you're wrong.
It sounds like you were getting ready to say I'm wrong.
But you could be wrong. I think, because I'm looking at a lot of polls, and Benavidez is like at 70%, and like Crawford's like at 25-30% in most of the polls.
Yeah.
And the other guys are like at 5-10. And then I'm hearing Stephen A. Smith talk about Benavidez. I'm hearing Shannon Sharp. I actually think the Benavidez fight is the bigger fight than the. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And I'll tell you why, because it's a passing of the torch type fight, and Benavidez is Mexican American. That's a good rivalry too, when you have like Mexican versus Mexican American, and you have the passing of the torch element to it, and it's a guy in his own weight class too, so, you know. I think Benavidez is the fight that everybody wants. I do think that would be the biggest fight. I do. I'm changing my mind from Crawford. I think that would be a bigger fight than the Crawford fight. I do believe that.
I think that from a casual standpoint, I don't know. I mean, they're both big fights. I guess it's 1A and 1B. I mean,
But all the polls.
Who do you take? Who would be easier? Who would be the easier of the two? There is no easy. Don't get me wrong. There is no easy. I'm Canelo, I become the weight bully.
Probably Crawford because of the size advantage. I think that would be probably the more winnable fight.
More winnable fight. David Benavidez is, I've said this all along, he's too big.
And he's fast. And he's fast. And he can fight on the outside and on the inside.
And he can box.
He can box too, man.
He's a very good boxer, man.
And his volume, and he's got an engine to him.
Yeah.
And his stamina days, bro.
That's it, his stamina. Listen, man, he's just too big for him. He's too young. He's too big. He's a better fighter. And if I'm Canelo, I'm not in a hurry to get in there with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, he moved up to 175. He's going to take that. He's going to have more opportunities at 175. Nobody wants to fight him at 168. He's a boogeyman up there. He moves up to 175. You got Bivol up there, and he puts it on Bivol. He puts it on, you know, I mean, there's just a bunch more opportunities for him up there.
Do you think he can beat Bivol?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Think he can beat better Diaz?
No, yeah. Absolutely he can beat better Diaz.
Really?
I think Bivol is going to beat better Diaz.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's got more ways to win, man.
Can he knock Beterbiev out?
He's 175 pounds and knows how to throw a punch. He's a professional fighter. Yeah, he can knock him out. He's a world champion. Yeah, he can knock him out, man.
Well, I guess
not to mention how old is Beterbiev?
37 years old, 38.
Yeah.
And I'm high on Beterbiev.
I like him too. Don't get me wrong, man. I like him too. But at some point, he's going to step between those ropes and he's going to get old.
You're an ageist.
You fight these guys. You don't get better in the sport. It doesn't happen, man.
All this technology we have today, this guy's deadlifting 700 pounds. He's benching 325.
Listen, man, weights don't hit back.
He's a machine.
All right, weights don't hit back.
What? Don't hit back.
The one-inch punch. He wants on my
face. Or don't hit back. That was the best scene ever, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's the man, boy. Yeah, so I tell you, I don't know as far as who Canelo fights next, but it's going to be – it's not Benavidez. It's either – I could see him fighting Charlo. It's either going to be Charlo or it's going to be Crawford.
The rumor is that he's demanding to fight Charlo. And I guess PBC does not want him to fight Charlo. And if he does fight Charlo, they don't want to pay him $35 million to fight Charlo.
No.
Again, they want return. It was the same thing he had when he was with DAZN. And DAZN paid him like $15 million for Rocky Fielding. Mm-hmm. And then they paid him like the $35-40 million for not Golovkin, but for Danny Jacobs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then when he's like when they did, the thing is they don't pay the same. So if you have a contract with a broadcaster, right? It's their discretion on how they want to allocate those funds to you. They're not going to pay you. I mean, I guess Crawford had a $3 million guarantee, but when you're dealing with $100 million,
yeah, you're going to have to pay more than that. You know,
you want to space that out for three fights, right? What are you gonna do? You're gonna blow it all on a big chunk of it on a Charlo fight?
Right.
No. You know what I'm saying? So
the Charlo fight isn't even marketable. It really isn't. I mean, it's not. I mean, they're gonna. They can put it in Texas. It'll sell out the arena, but everybody knows what's happening there. But you've already seen the fight.
We talked about this on the roundtable, right? We said a lot of these casual fans don't know the difference between Jermell and Jamal. They're gonna think it's a rematch.
Right. Oh, that's a good point too. That's a really good point.
The fight with Jermell and how bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I don't know what's going on. You know, I do. I just can't fathom that Canelo would want to fight Jamal.
I don't understand that. I mean,
can't fathom it, especially
you know why he wants to fight Jamal versus Benavidez or anybody else, man.
The guy's a mess, though. You see him on social media.
Well,
He was drunk on who's that guy? Aiden Ross. He jumped on Aiden Ross's stream and he was like drunk and he was like, yeah, I want to come on, man, but you got to pay me. And Aiden Ross don't pay people to come on his
right.
podcast. It's all drunk and stuff. I mean, he just – then he's on vacation somewhere.
He's
like, oh, what?
Dude.
What? I never talked to Al Heyman. Like, he just looks at, oh my, like, why do you want to fight this guy? Like,
I hope
all this is rumors. I hope all this is rumors. And I don't know, maybe he is trying to, I guess another thing they were saying too, is he doesn't want to fight Munguia because he doesn't want to be, you know, do a deal with Oscar being involved as well too. So I don't know.
Yeah. You know, he's not going to, he doesn't like Oscar. So Munguia could very well go by the wayside as well. Crawford makes the most sense. It does. Makes the most sense.
I don't hate the Crawford fight, but I still don't understand why you don't beat David Benavidez in May with the rematch clause. And if you lose, you fight him again in September.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why that isn't on the table.
Because, again, he doesn't want to. He's too big, and he knows it.
Right.
And he knows he's too big.
Look at Bivol
was bigger. He was much bigger, and he was skilled. What do you think Benavidez is going to do? That's a guy who comes at you. You know what I mean? You're not going to be able to back Benavidez up. He's too big. Too strong.
And here's the thing, too, man. He hasn't had a knockout in a while. A couple fights now. He could knock out Charlo. He didn't knock out Ryder. And who was the fight? Was the fight before Ryder? Who was the fight before Ryder? Was Bivol before Ryder? Was Bivol the fight before Ryder?
Something like that.
Trying to remember. So he hasn't had a knockout in a while.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a knockout in a while. And Munguia knocked out Ryder when he did. And I know we don't like to do the combat math thing. Oh, GGG. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was
yeah.
G. So it was Bivol, GGG. And then it was Ryder. And then it was – so yeah, and you had those – you had GGG who was way past it at the time you fought him.
He should have been
right?
able to stop him. I mean, he really should have been.
And he didn't stop him. And then you had Ryder. He didn't stop him. And he didn't stop Charlo. And then he lost to Bivol, obviously. He didn't stop him. And you were in there with two guys where you probably – like a couple of those guys you probably should have stopped and you didn't get them out of there. I do think he's slowing down.
November of 2021, last stoppage was Caleb Plant in the 11th round.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was the last one. Prior to that, it was Billy Joe Saunders. Prior to that, and he was on a streak, three KOs with Abney Yildirim and stuff. But Charlo, Ryder, Golovkin, Bivol were his last four.
You know.
So yeah, man.
Yeah, and he couldn't get Ryder out of there, and he couldn't get GGG out of there, and GGG just was badly faded. Like
he was faded in that fight. Yeah, he was faded.
And then we keep hearing, you know, Gavin's Ghost, shout out to him in the chat, because he could do whatever he wants, right? That's what Canelo says. Like everyone, because I could do whatever I want, and everyone just keep repeating it on Twitter. Oh, Canelo can do it. He earned the right to do whatever he wants. He earned the right to do whatever he wants. But here's the thing, guys. When you think about it, no fighter can really do whatever they want because the broadcaster has to accept your opponent.
Right.
If the broadcaster is not behind the fight and does not want to put the fight on, just like seems like we have a situation here. I don't know. Again, I'm just seems like it. I'm not going to pretend I know what's going on behind the scenes like some of these other goofballs out there.
Right.
But it does seem like there's an issue with the opponent. And I'm sure PBC does not want to, you know, misuse the funds they're getting from Amazon. Right. So if they go to Amazon with this fight with Jamal and it doesn't do well, then Amazon's going to be like, what's going on here?
Right.
You know,
listen, man, if you're Amazon, yeah, that Charlo fight doesn't bring in anything. You know what I mean? It doesn't bring in anything. So you've got to give me somebody here. Charlo ain't cutting it. You know, Munguia, to be honest with you, doesn't really cut it. I mean, it may bring – it's a Mexican, all-Mexican fight. It'll bring people in there. So I give you that, but yeah, I don't know. I Am Your Leader said the Amazon deal sucks. I don't know. I don't know too much about the Amazon deal, to be honest with you.
It's a rights agreement. So Amazon's paying PBC the budget, paying for the rights to show PBC's fights. How much? I don't know. I do know that they entered a rights agreement with the NFL multi-year deal for $13 billion.
Right, but I'm sure they're paying the NFL to get that content, whereas PPC is paying to get their content on Amazon. Is that my understanding?
No, that's a rumor. That's not true. When you enter a rights agreement with somebody, just like the Zone has a rights agreement with Matchroom.
Okay.
The broadcaster is purchasing your content.
Okay.
That's how a rights agreement works.
Okay, perfect.
Rick Glacier is telling everyone, it's a distribution deal. What's a distribution deal, Rick? It's not a time. Remember before when they got that hedge fund money from Waddell and Reed and they were on regular television? And that was a time buy. And they openly said, this is a time buy deal, where they would pay for slots on television.
Right.
This is not a time buy. The chairman of sports for Amazon put a press release out there and said, we have entered a rights agreement with PBC to show their fights.
Okay.
Well, they're paying PBC for the rights to broadcast their fights.
Gotcha.
And it says, and in the press release, the AP reported it and said the amount has been undisclosed. So we don't know.
Yeah, and I don't care how much it's worth or whatever, but I think it's interesting. Like I said, the last deal we know where they were paying to be on TV here, as long as they're somebody's buying their content, then yeah, those guys have got to get approved because Amazon's not going to want nonsense on there, especially if they're paying for it. They're gonna do the contract. They're gonna look at those ratings and say, what in the world? You know.
Yeah.
And I look at some of the fights they want to put on. You know, you got who is it? Zoo and Thurman.
And they got a multi-year deal with Amazon, it says. So what does multi mean? Is it 2 years?
Well,
is it three?
And then who knows? Who knows?
Is it 3 years? Who knows?
Right.
No, in the press release, the chairman said we've entered a multi-year rights agreement with them. How many years, though? Is it?
Right.
See, the thing is, everything is secretive now.
Which
Whereas with other sports, boxing's kind of keeping everything on the under wraps now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you would get – remember before they would release pay-per-view numbers before?
Yeah.
They would release
– They don't do that. And I tell you, they don't do that because those pay-per-view numbers are the drizzling you-know-what. And that's it. I mean, let's face it. If they were like a million, 2 million buys, you know they're releasing those.
Yeah.
When they don't release those pay-per-view numbers, you can bet they were under 200,000. Let's talk about the undercard here. Andy Cruz versus Brian Zampira. Rodriguez, 10 rounds lightweight. Andy Cruz dominated Brian Rodriguez with a 10-round unanimous decision, 100-90, all three judges. Cruz is 3-0 now, one knockout. He was the 2020 Cuban gold medalist. He was the one that took down Keyshawn Davis, I believe.
I believe so.
He's a really good boxer, man, but he doesn't seem to have much power. And I know they're trying to launch this guy like a rocket. I think they ought to take him slow, man. I really do. Or a little bit slower. He doesn't have to go on a snail's pace. But he, you know, because he's got experience and everything, but he is not a very entertaining fighter right now. And the fact is that fight last night, he should have put that guy away. Every guy they put in front of him, he should be putting away, because that's what this is about. This is, you know, your first, second fight. You know, they feed you. You know, they're looking to promote you. They're looking to, you know, elevate you. Yeah, he should have put this guy away, no question. And then they had some. They talked about him running, and the other guy was running. He didn't. Listen, man, he gave you plenty of opportunity. You weren't getting hit. You weren't putting yourself in position to get hit. But, you know, his power, he doesn't sit down on his punches either, you know?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's what he needs to transition into,
yeah.
Like from amateur to pro, he's got to sit down on the shots. I think I've seen some fighters on Twitter talking about that too, like he hasn't transitioned just yet from amateur to pro. He still has that amateur style, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's just got an amateur style. And that's the thing. Remember how Shakur was when he first came out?
And then Shakur started sitting down, but then he would only do it against opponents
that he knew.
He felt like against guys that weren't huge punchers and guys that weren't really pressure fighters.
Yeah,
right?
He's not going to sit down against Tank or anybody like that, or he's not going to sit down against anybody, you know.
Even Dos Santos, he knew Dos Santos could punch, had some knockouts behind him. And he fought totally different.
And listen, man, here's the deal. Is that, you know,
Nakatilia.
Yeah.
That was another big puncher he fought. And Joette Gonzalez, another big puncher.
I mean,
those are all guys who kind of laid back in the cup against, yeah, right?
I don't understand that Joette Gonzalez fight. He dominated that fight. He could have went in, and he could have got that guy out of there. I really believe that he could have got that guy out of there. But again, he doesn't want to sit down. He doesn't want to get hit. And, you know, I get it. I get it. I'm a defensive guy, too. I don't like to get hit either. I like to avoid the punches. But at some point, you know, you got to put people in the seats, too.
Yeah.
You know,
I always say this, and you usually agree with me when I say this.
Sure.
No one likes to get hit, but some guys hate it more than others,
right,
and you can tell they're very apprehensive about it, and they're
right,
thinking about it too much when they're in there.
Too much.
Right.
Unless, and the other part of
those, they have those like saucer eyes,
yep,
and they're like this.
Yeah. And I tell you, you know, and we don't know, but the guys that don't like to get hit, and you can always tell, do they have a chin? That's the other thing. What do you do when you get hit? Do you have a chin? I don't know.
I was talking to D-Style about this. He was yesterday. And I said, when you look at Shakur Stevenson, he's got a really thin, long, thin neck. And he has a frame where maybe he can't take – again, I'm just – Speculating, maybe he can't take a shot. You cannot, like you just said, you hit the nail right on the head there. Maybe these guys are they've got hit in sparring, or they got hit at one point in time. They're like, damn, this don't really feel good. I don't like how this feels. Like, you know, some guys like obviously don't like it, but they become numb to it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Nobody likes to get hit in the face, but you get used to it, and you can. You know what I mean? It's just a necessary evil, you know. But I'm not impressed with Cruz. You either?
He can fight, but that type of style is not going to attract a lot of people and win a lot of fans over. He can win a lot. I think he'll do well in terms of he'll be successful.
Yeah.
Winning fights, but will he be successful on the other end of it? Putting people in the seats.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. I mean, who's he? You know, who are you going to put him in there against? We want to, you know, that we're all going to pack around the TV and say, oh my God, Andy Cruz is fighting.
Yeah. A lot of people on Twitter, they weren't very happy with the performance, and they were pretty down on it. So.
Two guys. I mean, we had two guys on there, and Cruz was one of them because he's an up-and-comer Olympian. You always expect much, you know, a lot out of those guys. And Edgar Berlanga, who he won. But let's face it, I mean, I don't know that he was in the Canelo sweepstakes anyway. But this was, you know, this was one of those things, man. And even the fact that he won, he still didn't look great. You know what I mean? It's not like, I mean, we all like, look, could you imagine Canelo in there last night? Come on, man. I don't care what version of Canelo. Canelo could get off the couch and you know, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I understand.
So, Shakhram Gyasov versus Pablo Cesar Cano. Gyasov wins the technical decision over Cesar Cano. Cano injured his ankle, so they went to the scorecards, and he won all but one round. So not really too much to talk about there. Antonio Vargas scored a seventh-round TK over Jonathan Rodriguez. That is Fernando Vargas. Son or no?
Yes, correct. That's correct.
What'd you think of him?
It's tough. It's tough. The jury's still out. I'm gonna keep an eye on them, but they're not their dad. None of them are their dad. You know what
tough.
I mean? It's tough. It's like when I see the name Vargas.
Yeah.
And this isn't fair. I know this. I see the name Vargas, and then I kind of compare them to their dad, and I say, well, you know. Maybe the bar is so high, and it's unfair that the bar is so high.
Right.
But they're good. They can fight.
Yeah.
They're not a fight.
Yeah, they know how to fight, but it's such a tough sport when you're dealing with – when your dad, you know, he goes – but he came from where he came from. Now, you guys, are probably have a lot more than your average kids, you know, or people growing up. So it's different, man.
You know, people looked at Fernando, and obviously he was an aggressive guy. He was a great body puncher.
Yeah.
And he could fight on the outside and the inside. He was very well-rounded as a boxer, right? So when you look at the Suns, they're just a little rough around the edges. They're not as sharp as their dad was. This was a guy who became champion at 17 years old.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He's a different kind of cat, man. He was a
different
breed.
So they're good fighters, but
championship level.
I'm not sure if they're going to follow in their dad's footsteps.
The belt, but not necessarily, upper echelon, considered to be upper echelon.
Like, when you look at a guy like Tim Tszyu,
yes,
you know right off the bat, like, this guy's good.
Yeah.
Now, this guy's skilled, This guy's very technically sound. He's really good at setting up shots. Good footwork, good balance. This very crafty, cagey.
Yeah.
And it does a lot of subtle things. Knows how to position himself perfectly. Cuts off the ring. Knows how to thread the needle with those shots. Doesn't waste a lot of. He's just a very, very efficient fighter, and he can punch too, right? So Tim's. You just look at certain guys, and you know that this guy can fight.
Yeah.
I nothing really jumps out at me with the Vargas brothers yet.
Zapata Brand Zapata Brand Boxing Podcast. Excuse me. Said he watched Vargas boys as the amateurs. Unfortunately, not the pedigree of the dad, but they're all skilled to a degree.
Yeah,
I think that's a perfect way to put it. I really do. That is a perfect observation. Where they're all going to be good because they have a pedigree as well, but they're just not him. You know.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, look at Michael Jordan. I mean, look at his son. You know, I think he played college basketball, but he was never a star. You know.
Yeah.
Different thing, man. Let's talk about ESPN, Takuma Inoue versus Jerwin Ancajas. Beeb, Jerwin's one of my favorites, man. But Inoue beats Ancajas by ninth round KO. It was a body shot that did Ancajas in. Inoue looks solid. Quite honestly, we kind of expected him to be honest with you.
Sharpshooter.
We had talked about Ancajas leading into the fight, and that we thought he might be on that slide, and it was kind of confirmed, I got to be honest, man. He started out okay. He did. He started out okay. But as the fight went on, the speed, the power, everything kind of went south for him, man.
Yeah. I thought that the precision. he's hilarious.
White fight. He just does, man. He's never, never come across with a white fighter and said, that guy's the goods. He never had. It is a good fight. Stop.
Well, in fairness to him, he wasn't crazy about Wilder either. He wasn't crazy about Wilder.
Yeah, I can see that.
Wasn't
crazy about I love Fight Doctor, though. And he's always got, but you know what?
He has a high bar. He has a high.
He
you know
does.
What fight? He likes. He looks back to the old days with the Muhammad Ali's and the Lennox Lewis's and Mike Tyson. He just has a high bar.
Yeah. And what I like about Fight Doctor, too, is he will break down why he doesn't like him. And even if you don't agree with him, he's got a pretty good argument. He's typically got a fairly good argument.
Yeah, it's not personal with him.
Right.
He doesn't give you an emotional take.
He's always got a good take.
He gives you an analytical take on what he thinks of guys. When he criticized Triple G, he had some legitimate points that he made.
Sure. Lomachenko, and again, he criticized Lomachenko and everything like that. And again, but he had points. He had decent points. It wasn't just like, I hate this guy.
It's just the nicknames he gives them. It's like, hilarious.
Duck Mello. What was he?
We don't want to repeat some of those names, man. It's crazy.
And Cajas, he's seen better days, man. I hated to see him go out like that, but that body punching, man, that guy is a sharpshooter. He looked a lot like Inoue, his brother, Inoue.
He's the next best thing.
He really is.
He's explosive, but like not as much as his brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Look what he calls him.
Bum Lovekin. That's it, Bum Lovekin. Triple Duck, yeah, Triple Duck, Bum Lovekin.
Those names are hilarious, though. I love when he comes on the streams and like people try to like talk shit to him and he just destroys people.
Yeah.
He destroys people.
Like I said, man, he's always got good takes. Whether you agree with him or not, he's always got decent takes, man. Well, we love him, man. Junto Nakatani versus Alexander Santiago. Nakatani wins via 6th round TKO over Santiago to win the 118-pound WBC title. We talked about this a couple of years ago, when England, the UK, had like 12 world champions. Japan has 9. All.
Can you imagine?
Under 122 pounds.
Can you imagine?
122 and under, it is all Japan.
And thank goodness for ESPN Plus.
Yes.
And thank goodness for DAZN.
Yes.
Thank goodness for these and all the platforms out there. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A lot of people, they get depressed. They get down on the sport of boxing. The sky is falling. The sport's dead. And I always say, my reply is this. The sport's never been bigger globally than now. We have the ability now to watch so many different fights from so many different venues around the world on so many different platforms. All these fights are at our, where before we could not see these fights. So now we were exposed, not just us, but the whole world. And even Americans are starting to become fans of these foreign fighters. Like some people, Inoue's their favorite fighter.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, some of the UK fighters, but like, look how many Americans love Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you never had this before, right?
No.
So a lot of guys are getting paid now too. And now you have Saudi involved, Turki Alashik.
Oh, it's great.
We're getting the Undisputed now. Bivol Beterbiev. Who wants to watch a pay-per-view? Again, the main event is going to be at 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Beautiful for an old fart like myself.
Oh, wait. If you live in Las Vegas, you're getting the same thing. The main event's at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so like,
what do you care?
I love these people that complain that you're actually getting a fight in prime time
right.
instead of 12 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So again, you're going to have your naysayers. It's always going to be a niche sport. But again, it's 365, right? There's no season. You can watch it all year round.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. I love it.
I tell you, we are living in the best time. If you're a boxing fan, if you're a sports fan, anything, because we can watch any fight that we want to, either on YouTube or live somewhere. You can watch it. Back in the day, this wasn't happening. We had to scratch and claw just to get a schedule.
Back in the day when you had HBO and Showtime,
mm-hmm.
that's all you had.
Even before those guys.
And then back in the 90s.
Channels and stuff. And,
Then back in the 90s, you had like USA Tuesday Night Fights. And then you had the Friday Night Fights on ESPN. But those,
they had good stuff on Tuesday night, but for the most part, it was just up and comers and.
Yeah, there's a lot of prospect stuff, but now you're seeing great fighters from all around the world that you weren't exposed to before. And this is beautiful, man.
Yeah. You have a right. It's problem is it's impossible to avoid spoilers now. You're 100% right though. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, people text me. Eric texts me all the time. You watching?
That's why I always text you. Are you watching? Not like, hey, did you see that? Or like, are you watching?
And what happened? I fell asleep again when you text me, and I watched the fight this morning when I woke up.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's like because I've had people do this all the time. Like I haven't watched the fight. I'm watching on delay. Did you see that knockout? No. God. Yeah. You know. Like, no, I haven't seen it yet. you know. All right, let's hit Ringside Robert. Let's bring him on. Robbie, the word. Stop.
Hello, guys.
Hey,
how are you?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing.
Are you feeling
better,
Rob?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better.
Are you feeling better? I heard Mrs. Herrick burnt the meatloaf and you got sick last week.
No. That was not her fault. Trust me. Anybody that's ever had food
what
poisoning,
happened?
What happened last week, Robert? You don't want it. I don't want to go into details on live internet radio, but let's just say it wasn't fun.
STD.
Eric, come on.
I'm just guessing, man.
Family show here.
What did you think of Berlanga? Does he get Canelo next?
No, and I'll tell you right now, I'm not impressed with Edgar Berlanga. That 16 knockout streak did him a disservice. He is not developed properly.
Yeah, I agree.
And Top Rank did the right thing by cutting him loose because it sounds
like...
We
talked about that when he was coming up, about that 16.
Yeah.
I said, he's not developing.
No. And,
not learning anything.
I firmly believe that Edgar Berlanga will lose to anybody that is any good. Like, he'll lose to Munguia, he'll lose to Pacheco, he'll lose to anybody that is better skilled than he is, because it sounds like from what I've read and, you know, things I've heard.
Oh, but you don't like the guy, do you?
No,
I
do not.
You don't like the guy, do you, Robert?
No, I do not. What
do you ever do to you?
Sounds like he doesn't take instruction well. He wants to do things his own way, and you know that he's not going to be long for this boxing game. He'll eventually be a gatekeeper if he keeps this up. But if you want to market the Berlanga Munguia thing, you put it in June. You stick it in Madison Square Garden on Puerto Rico Parade Weekend in New York City. There you go.
I don't hate that.
Who does Canelo fight next?
I firmly believe we're going to get stuck with somebody like Charlo. But here's the problem with that. They're entering in a new partnership with Amazon. Amazon has complete say-so over who they're going to show. And if Amazon is telling PBC, no, we watched The Brother in September. We're not gonna put this on our platform. That's why Canelo hasn't made any kind of announcement, because Amazon is gonna want him to fight Crawford. They're gonna want him to fight Benavidez. They're gonna want him to fight Munguia, one of those guys. You know, even if they can work out some kind of deal with Oscar, but Oscar will screw things up if you get Munguia involved. I think the PBC fighters are going to have to learn a new reality. You may want to fight somebody, but Amazon is going to dictate who you fight. You're not going to have any say-so over who you fight. It's going to be who Amazon wants you to fight.
Yeah.
You know, Willie, I mean, if Canelo doesn't want to fight, let's face it, he can walk out. I mean, what is he fighting for now anyway? He's done everything you could possibly do.
Yeah.
Robbie, let me just say this, because you brought up some good points.
Okay.
And again, I always go back to this Floyd Mayweather construct that everyone uses. You have to be undefeated. You have to fight on a certain network. Oh, I only fight on Showtime. Like, a lot of this stuff that he put out there. Oh, I'm not going to make another promoter rich. Oh, I can't work with that promoter. I have a problem with that guy. Like, a lot of this stuff never was around. It wasn't out there until he brought it out there. Now everyone uses it. Now Mayweather. Oh, I'm my own boss. No fighter is their own boss, because once again. It's up to the network if they want to show your fight. So you're not your own boss, because somebody is cutting you a check. So all this, I'm my own boss. I only fight on this network. I got to be undefeated. I'm the A side. All this stuff never was around before Mayweather, and now everyone has adopted it, even Canelo.
Yeah,
oh, I can do whatever I want.
Can
you really do whatever you want, Canelo? Because right now it seems like you want to fight somebody that the promoter and the broadcaster doesn't want you to fight.
I don't think anyone's
their own boss.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's their own boss. There's always someone that's cutting a check to you.
If Showtime was still involved, PBC would okay the Charlo fight with no problem. But the problem is Amazon is involved, and they're the ones that are telling PBC, we don't want this fight. And I think Amazon is going to be very disappointed come March 30th when they see the number of pay-per-views that they actually get from Thurman and Zoo.
I can't believe that fight's on pay-per-view.
Here's another thing, Robbie, real quick. I'm going to cut you off.
Okay.
So you just entered this deal with Amazon, right?
Right, right.
You want to prove your worth. You want to show them that, I can give you a return on an investment here. I don't want to mismanage. I don't want to mismanage the funds that you're allocating to me. I want to display fiduciary responsibility. Write that down, kids. Fiduciary responsibility, and look that up. Now, that's what they want to do. So if they right out of the gate give Amazon a dud, that's a bad look. Whereas with Showtime, they were with them for 10 years. So there was a relationship there already. Okay,
exactly.
We'll get you back next time, Showtime. You don't have that luxury with Amazon.
No.
Right?
And,
you don't have that relationship yet.
No, you don't. Yeah. And the problem is their first two proposed shows – if they were to have their way, would be March 30th, Keith Thurman, Tim Zhu, May 4th, Canelo Alvarez, Jamal Charlo. Amazon is going to look at both of those sets of numbers if those fights were to turn out to be that case, and they're going to say to themselves, why did we even bother agreeing to a deal that we're not getting
any
money out of?
Here's the difference, Robbie.
Okay.
Thurman and Zhu are probably getting $2 million guarantees.
That's correct.
If Canelo's going to get in the ballpark of a $35 million guarantee and his opponent's going to get a $5 million guarantee, that's $40 million right there.
That's correct.
So it's a different thing guaranteeing $4 million and a fight does 100,000 pay-per-view buys, at 80 a pop, that's $8 million.
Right, right.
You already covered the $4 million.
Exactly.
But to cover this $40 million or whatever it's going to be, $45 million, you got to do numbers. And you're not going to do numbers with Charlo. He only did 400,000 pay-per-view buys with Ryder over in the zone globally.
Yeah.
Those were global numbers.
Those were global.
What are you going to? Well, that's what was reported. Dan Raphael said it, so I believe him. I believe Dan Raphael. I don't believe Cross Topic.
Just mad with you.
But
I
know fight fans don't want to look at things from a business point of view, but when you're involving PBC, you have to look at it from a business point of view, because what was the rumor, Beeb? They went through, $400 million with Waddell and Reed? They blew right
500, I think it was.
Something like
that. I think it was $500 million.
Amazon's not going to just hand you cash and say, okay, put on whatever you want. Amazon doesn't do stupid things like that. The NFL...
Nobody does
cash,
that.
The NFL is a cash cow for them because they know the NFL is going to give them quality each and every week, and they do. So, boxing
especially
is,
the Bengals are playing.
Boxing is not in that position. They can't provide week after week after week top-notch fights because you got people that do not want to work together to make those kind of things happen. And if you depend on one boxing entity to provide you a broadcast product, that's where you're going to lack. You know, if you're going to be a network and you're going to get into boxing, you got to work with more than one promoter. You can't just be exclusive
to one person.
All right.
Listen, they got over 200 fighters over there or something crazy?
Yeah, something like that.
Here's another thing, Robert, too. the thing is, when you do a co-promoted event, it's got to be a big fight.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Canelo Munguia, Canelo Munguia is a decent fight.
Yeah.
But it's not a Canelo Benavidez.
No, it's not.
It's not a Canelo Cotto. It's not a Canelo Cotto. So once again, when you're going to do a co-promoted event, that'll be a big enough fight to warrant two promoters working together. But
yeah,
if not, they're just doing it in-house.
Well, and look at the last co-promoted event we had, Beeb, last April, when Showtime and DAZN put on Davis and Garcia. Look at how that went over. I mean, that was a big fight, and it turned out real well commercially. But look at all the problems that people had, you know, ordering the pay-per-view on DAZN and things like that. When you get two different broadcasters involved, sometimes there's issues.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Robert, we're going to get running here. I'm going to put you on hold so you can hear the show.
Okay,
Robert, stop eating burnt meatloaf, okay?
Stop it. What's the matter with you? All right, let's talk about the fights next week. March 2nd, Verona, New York on ESPN and ESPN+. Luis Alberto Lopez versus Reya Abe, 12 rounds for Lopez's IBF featherweight title.
It's a great fight.
Yeah. Let's see here. Otabek Kalamatov versus Raymond Ford, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA featherweight title. Nico Ali Walsh on the other undercard there. I don't know if you know this or not, but he is actually the grandson of Muhammad Ali.
No.
Right? Right? There you go. Floyd Diaz, another hype prospect, is also on the undercard. So that undercard is going to be something to catch, too, for sure.
Cash flow Diaz.
I can't believe that's him. I can't believe that's Cash Flow.
Remember when he was a little kid?
Yeah. That's what blows me away.
Hilarious.
It's insane that guy, you know, like, I was like, what?
It's a good card next week.
Yeah, it's not bad. On DAZN, however.
Don't do it.
Amanda Serrano versus Mina Meineke. Cares? Who cares?
You know what the odds are for that fight?
Nobody cares.
She's a minus 3,000. You got to put $3,000 on her to make 100. Meanwhile, Katie Taylor's fighting Chantel Cameron in a pick'em fight. And then you got Tasha Jonas, and she's fighting pick'em fights, Michaela Mayer. That's another pick'em fight. And then you got this woman, minus 3,000.
Yeah, that's a real barn burner there, you know. Jake Paul on that undercard versus Ryan Borland, 8 rounds cruiserweights. Borland, who hasn't fought in 2 years, by the way. He's 11-1, but hasn't fought in 2 years. Writing's on the wall there. I mean, if you're serious about getting better, you need to start fighting some guys, man. Somebody who's going to give you work, somebody who's going to give, you know what I mean? I get what he's doing, but, like, what are you doing? Like, are you serious about it? Because Ryan Borland's not an attraction. You know, I know Logan or Jake's the attraction, but, like, I mean, come on, man. What are you doing there, really? Because I think he can be good, but I think he's definitely got a ceiling because it's late. You know, you can't just come in here. And then, of course, March 8th, 2 weeks from now, Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua. My son Antonio is convinced that Francis Ngannou is going to beat Anthony Joshua.
A lot of people are saying that. I'm looking at polls, and some polls have Ngannou ahead of Joshua. And then the ones that have Joshua ahead of Ngannou, they're like 60-40.
I don't understand.
People believe in Ngannou right now.
I don't get it. I really don't. He's getting demolished in this fight. I'm going to tell you that right now. Anthony Joshua is walking right through that guy.
I think he wins by decision.
I think he wins by massacre.
I don't know, man.
He's not.
I think he wins.
I'm going to tell you.
Seven rounds to 3, 8 rounds to 2.
No, it's going to be a complete whitewash if it goes that way. Anthony Joshua will not lose a round. I'll even go one better. He won't lose a second of any round.
Okay.
No way. He is dominating this guy. Team Batman knows what he's talking about. AJ by stoppage guaranteed.
This guy got a neck.
So do football players, but they can't take any shots.
The size of a peach basket.
I don't care.
He's got a head the size of a safe.
He's getting put away, man. Trust me. He's getting put away. Joshua is murking this dude.
Okay.
Not even fair. It's not even fair. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors this week. Tank Davis versus Frank Martin is set. The WBA lightweight title in late spring, early summer. Now, Frank Martin is unbeaten. He's 18-0, 12 knockouts. Does he have – I mean, it's a good fight. I think it's a good fight. Frank Martin's definitely a skilled fighter. But you think it's a good fight? I like
him
it.
Tank Davis? I think it's a bad fight. I think it's a good fight.
I like it.
I don't think it's a pay-per-view fight.
I wonder if it's going to be on pay-per-view. Yeah, I guess it is.
It'll be on pay-per-view. See, that now, here's what they're doing, I believe, I suspect. So they're saying, oh, yeah, we're going to give you regular championship fights on Amazon Prime as well as pay-per-views. But you know what they're really doing? They're taking the pay-per-view cards, I believe. At least they're doing it for the Keith Thurman one. So they're gonna let you watch the bottom half of the card on Amazon Prime Video for free.
Yeah.
And then the pay-per-view is gonna be the other four.
Right.
So you're basically splitting the cards up.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're just gonna give you a card like what the Zone will do, like the card on the Zone yesterday, a whole card from top to bottom was part of the subscription. It wasn't an added pay-per-view price.
There you go. David Benavides, and we have referred to earlier in the show, David Benavides is moving up to 175 pounds light heavyweight. He'll face Alexander Gvozdik. I think 175 is the place for him. He's going to carry his power, his stamina, et cetera. He'll be the guy at that weight. I really think so. This is more his weight, and he can forget about the Canelo thing. He's going to get to the point where he's not even chasing Canelo anymore because he's got people in front of him and everything like that. I think this is the weight. This is the place for him.
I still want the Benavidez fight, but maybe I'm dreaming.
Yeah, I just, like I said, man, he's too big. I don't, you know, like, that's the thing, though. He's too big.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know, man. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on X at ringside73. And, guys, we'll see you next week.